Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's Lance McAllister. Thanks for podcasting my show. Make sure you check out my blog. It's sponsored by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call my guy Cliff. Got junk? Not after these guys are done. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Named best in the city for junk removal by Cincinnati Magazine. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
This is a special podcast presentation from 700WLW.com. This is Lance McAllister on demand.
You. Like good old fashioned smash mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Lycan. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go, 6:06 on News Radio 700 WLW. Welcome in another Thursday night, another Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Rocky is on assignment. We'll get to our special guest tonight, our first of two tonight. I'm Lance McAllister. Happy to have you here. Let's get to the headlines. Then we'll rock and roll. Your News Radio 700 WLW Bengals update. Bengals continued preparation for Sunday's final game of the season, a battle in Baltimore versus the 9-6 Ravens. Remember, the game flexed to 4:25. The best Bengals coverage starts right here at 9 a.m. Joe Mixon practices today. Vontaze Burfict and Cedric Oboihe do not. The Bengals signed kicker Jonathan Brown to the practice squad. He's out of Louisville. Perhaps you remember him. The Bengals have named Giovanni Bernard as the recipient of the 2017 Ed Block Courage Award. The award honors players who symbolize professionalism, great strength and dedication, while also acting as a community role model. College football bowl games, busy day. One final in the books. Virginia falls to Navy 49-7. Virginia returned the opening kickoff of the game 98 yards for a touchdown, then was outscored 49-0. Navy's triple option ran it 76 times for 452 yards. The Navy backup quarterback had five rushing touchdowns. Rocky has the Camping World Bowl that is underway at this moment. Number 22 Virginia Tech leading number 19 Oklahoma State 7-3 at last check in the first quarter. Two more games tonight. Alamo Bowl has number 13 Stanford versus number 15 TCU. The Holiday Bowl has number 18 Washington State against number 16 Michigan State. College basketball, there's action tonight. The 7-5 NKU Norse open up conference play at BB&T Arena, hosting IUPUI in Horizon League action. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock on ESPN 1530 with Jim Kelch and Steve Moeller. In other action around the area, Wright State plays host to UIC in the Horizon as well. Bearcats open American Conference play Sunday at Memphis. The latest on the Cats on the Mick Cronin Show tonight with Dan, Terry, and the coach. It follows us at 8 in studio tonight. They'll be back on location after the holidays, but in studio tonight from 8 to 9 o'clock. For everything else you've missed today, check out the blog. Go to 700WLW.com. The blog, a service of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk, if you're moving, perhaps remodeling, 1-800-GOT-JUNK will take care of it. On the blog right now, if you missed John Brannon joining Sports Talk last night, talk a little NKU basketball. That is there. Dave Lapham from Bengals Line, the Lap Hour on Monday night, and also our conversation with Alex Redmond and more, all at 700WLW.com. All right, before we check traffic, let's welcome in our special guest. It is such a treat because it's a, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask you, it's a big night for you. Am I allowed to ask you publicly just the significance of tonight's
sure.
show without embarrassing you, Paul Daner Jr., the Inquirer? How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm well. I feel a little bit bad because this is a significant date, which I was not aware of. I'm assuming you were aware of at some point what's happening tonight.
Yeah, it's the fifth anniversary of my first date with my lovely wife who is here tonight.
How about
not
that?
Not paying any attention
to
me.
She's mesmerized by your cohort, Jimmy Sarsky, right now.
Problematic.
They're talking blitz packages or something.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yes.
That is cool. Well, thank you for spending an hour with us tonight.
Thrilled to.
All right, we have a lot to get to. We're going to do a little bit on Sunday's game, and as you can imagine, we're going to do a lot on Marvin Lewis in the offseason. Does that sound in the realm of possibilities for conversation?
Very much so, yeah.
We'll do all that. Paul Daner Jr. from the Inquirer, and much more to get to. Jim Osarski from the Inquirer will join us in hour number two tonight. So we'll sort through what Sunday means. We'll sort through what may happen after Sunday and the offseason ahead. Maybe get into a little draft stuff. I don't know. If he pushes me, I may ask Paul to give us a mock draft thought later on in the hour as well. We'll do all that as we continue. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, where we check traffic at 610 on News Radio 700 WLW.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Maternity Services, special deliveries are our specialty. Looking at an accident, still has Dutch Colony close between Winton Ridge and Hebron Court. North 71 on the shoulder at Reading Road, an accident. South 75 at Ezard on the shoulder, a wreck. Your slow southbound 275 to the lateral, then Ezard to the bridge. Northbound Dixie to the bridge, and the accident's cleaning up McMillan at Ravine, Reed Hartman at 275, Red Bank at Duck Creek, and Reading at Summit. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on News Radio 700 WLW.
We'll see increasing clouds overnight tonight as your low drops down to 12. Cloudy for your Friday, a chance of some snow showers starting late in the afternoon. We'll see a high of 27 on the day. Cloudy Saturday, chance of snow during the morning, little accumulation expected. We'll see a high of 23, partly sunny Sunday, a high of 18. That's the forecast from your severe weather station, News Radio 700 WLW.
611 on News Radio 700 WLW. It's the Roundtable Show, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live entertainment at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Friday and Saturday night. Friday features the Naked Karate Girls at 8 and the River City Band on Saturday at 9 o'clock. The tag team from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com, hanging out tonight, one each hour. Paul Daner Jr. in the first hour, Jim Osarski in the second hour. You guys, you tweet, you live video, you Facebook video, you do shows on locations, you do podcasts, you do videos. You are like jacks of all trades.
You got to be. That's sort of where it's at now, where we got to have a little something for everybody wherever they like to get it. You know what I mean? It's funny. We talk to so many people that love the podcast and only listen to the podcast, but they listen every week. And then we talk to people that only read the stories on Cincinnati.com. Then we talk to people, you know, that I still get the paper and I read
That's
it every
right.
morning.
Need the ink on my hands.
I only watch the videos. Everybody has their way that they consume things, and we just try to have it all out there so you can pick however it is that you like to get your Bengals news. We try to have a little bit of something for everybody. So it's taxing, but we don't mind it. We love it.
It's the way to get it done. Yeah. How, from a logistics standpoint, while everybody was kind of freaking out Sunday night when the announcement was made, this game is going to flex and the schedule's changing, and there's no Sunday night game. When a game goes from 1 to 425, tell me from a travel logistics standpoint, and in terms of New Year's Eve plans, what does that do for a beat writer?
Normally, this would not be a big deal because almost every game actually I've covered on the road, we have left, except for one in Oakland. I think one time I took a red eye back. But we will leave the next day. We'll leave the next morning. So it really makes no difference. Maybe it ruins my dinner plan in whatever that city is that night. But for the most part, it's not a big deal. Except this particular game, we decided we were going to fly home the night of the game because we knew we needed to be in there early, first thing in the morning on Monday. So we have a 10:35 Southwest flight out of BWI.
Uh-huh.
We still will be able to make, but we will be going pretty much directly from the locker room to the airport and finishing writing from the airport to make sure that we get on that flight. So we really don't want to miss that one, or else next thing you know, we're stuck in Baltimore for a week or something like that.
Clearly that game must go overtime then.
I'm assuming it will. I'm assuming it's going to do the full overtime with lots of extra timeouts and challenges.
That's right. Replay reviews.
Absolutely.
On the scale and scope of cities and road trips, where does Baltimore rank? Is that a good place to go on the road?
Baltimore is one of my favorites. I mean, everything really basically revolves around the meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's really about. So when I know I'm going to get the crab cake, you can set it aside as I know. I'm not going to have crab cake in, like, the months leading up to it. No, I'm going to know that I'm going into it. I'm going to hammer it home in Baltimore. You can look forward to that.
Sure.
So it ranks up there pretty high because that's it's a pretty strong food city. It's definitely the best in the north that you go to every year, I will say.
Give me a sense. You're around this team every day in the locker room every day. Give me a feel for the vibe, the sense, the emotion this week in what has been for the last couple of weeks kind of odd times, I would think. What's the sense you get from this team this week?
It's cold.
Yeah.
I think it's part of it. I mean, guys come in out of the walkthrough today, and they just look stunned.
And you're at the bubble today.
They went to the bubble today. For practice, but they still do the walkthrough outside at the stadium. And so it's just that sort of sends shivers down your spine, and it dampens your mood a little bit. But, I think it's odd. Like, everything is really odd. It has been for a few weeks. I think they got a little bit of recalibration from the Detroit game. I mean, they were sort of lost after the Steelers. Yeah. You know, the Steelers beat them twice, basically, with the Bears, and then they Marvin kind of beat them with the Minnesota game a little bit. Not that they were going to go up there and win, but I think they were shook by that. And then they kind of got back to being themselves and sick of laying down against Detroit. And so I think they kind of recalibrated how you've got to go out there and play in the pride aspect once they were able to put the disappointment of the season and all the other distractions aside. So I think that they're kind of a little focused on the last game and into that, but there's just the cloud is hovering over of not just the head coach decision, but you have assistants, and then you have how will a possible new coach think about these players? And it all hovers over everybody, and I think it's starting. They're still focused on the game, but you can sense that starting to slip in and the understanding of what that's going to mean.
Let's get into that and what may transpire shortly after the game. Paul Daner Jr. from the Inquirer hanging out with us in this first hour. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at 6:16 on News Radio 700 WLW. 22 on the Furniture Fair Roundtable here at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Lance McAllister, Paul Daner Jr. from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. His partner on the Bengals beat, Jim Osirski, will join me in the 7 o'clock hour tonight. All this week through Saturday is the $25,000 Week of Winners Progressive Drawings. 8 winners every half hour from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. have the chance to win between $50 and $1,000 in bonus rewards and up to $25,000 in cash. Let's select last week's Reliable Player of the Game, brought to you by Reliable Products, Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance, and Pace Financing. Efficient financing for building efficiency. We'll go with Giovanni Bernard. 30 touches, 23 carries for 116 yards and a touchdown. 7 catches on 7 targets for 52 yards. Back with Paul Daner Jr. You're asked this around the clock on Twitter and probably strangers walking up to you on the street. What do you anticipate happening with Marvin Lewis, and how soon do you think that happens following Sunday's game into next week?
If there's anything you learn quickly covering this team, is tradition is and habit is sort of always going to take the day. And I think that's what we're going to see here. Every year, the Monday after the final game, Marvin and Mike get back to the stadium, and they talk in the morning, and they have their conversation about the team going forward. And in case of this year, that is about the head coach. And Marvin, despite everything that's been out there, and as slam dunk as it is being portrayed, has said across the board, he has not changed his tune on this, that he has not said anything and is going to talk with Mike, and the decision is going to come at that point. And I would expect that to be the case again. If you know, everything that we hear and we believe is he's going to get in there and his point is going to be what's out there. that I'm ready to move on and pursue other opportunities. And at that point, I would think that it will become what it is, and the parting of ways, whatever we're going to call it. And there is a press conference scheduled for noon on Monday, Marvin's standard year-end press conference. So we'll see what comes of that. But my anticipation is that something between or when they meet that morning and noon, I would assume something would have to come of that. Otherwise, we'll all be sitting there waiting and wondering what exactly we're supposed to ask Marvin about at noon.
And to be clear, this is when you use the term parting the ways, his contract is simply up. This isn't, it wouldn't result in a firing. I don't want you. This could just be as easy as a shake of the hand, a hug, a thank you, an expression of regret on both sides, and I wish you nothing but the best, and let's exchange Christmas cards every year, and they just go their separate ways.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the way I think we all anticipated it would always go. Throughout the entire time of debating what Marvin's future is going to be for however long this has been going on, I think it always felt like it would be a mutual thing. This never felt like it would be a firing or a quit and a
right.
walkout. I think there's too much respect between both sides for it to be like that. And so that I think that's best for everybody. And I think everybody would admit it's time, and you can't have a better opportunity for a break in terms of situation, in terms of the franchise, in terms of everything, than probably right now. I mean, this seems like it's the perfect opportunity.
You brought up a great point that I think is lost on many, and there's not the level of appreciation I think there needs to be. The assistant coaches, the rest of this staff, the lives impacted, the wives, the kids, the uncertainty, that's tough. I was going to say during the holiday season, it's tough at any point, but there is that uncertainty that engulfs a coaching staff that we're led to believe, I think the assumption is, almost all, if not all, their contracts are up as well.
All their contracts are up, and we've never seen this with this franchise, really, where you have a chance. I mean, there's a chance that they could have none of this entire staff back, and for a organization so rooted in stability and continuity, it's a real shakeup. When Marvin was brought on back in 2003, basically four coaches were retained. You had Paul Alexander, you had Kevin Coyle actually was on before and stayed over. Bob Ratkowski was kept on as the offensive coordinator at that time and ended up staying, obviously, through 2010. So you have... there's a precedent there that maybe some would stay, but you look at this staff, and if Marvin leaves and you don't hire internally, if it's not, you know, Paul, whether it's Paul Gunther or Darren Simmons, it's hard to wonder who's going to stay.
Sure.
So many of these assistants have been blocked in recent years and have had opportunities for more pay, promotions, titles, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of respect across the league for a lot of coaches on this staff. So you have to believe they're going to have opportunities, that they're going to immediately...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
They want to explore, and so it's hard to know who's going to be back of all the staff.
If you're a betting man... and it's difficult betting on Mike Brown or against Mike Brown, is it the odds tilt against an internal hiring? Would that be fair to say, or do you think that is in play as a...
Well, it's in play. I mean, I definitely think it's in play. I mean, I think they're going to interview, and they're going to talk to him. I would never bet against continuity here. I mean, that's always something they value, and they certainly value someone who knows them. And I would think from the outside, not necessarily internally, but, boy, you really want someone to be in that position that understands what they're getting into franchise-wise.
That's a great point.
Like many organizations across this league, unique ownership is almost at every place. I mean, there's all kinds of different types of owners that you have to understand what you're getting yourself into. A lot of them have GM buffers, though. And so here you're immediately thrust into part of what I call the holy trinity of roster management, too, where the Duke Tobin family and head coach run as this trinity that puts together the entire vision of the roster of what the organization is going to be, and it serves it as the voice. That's what they created when Marvin Lewis came in here in 2003. So that's, you would like someone that is going to be comfortable with that. And that's part of where familiarity plays in, whether you're talking about coaches that have been here before and are now elsewhere and currently employed potentially, or you're talking about those that already work here. I think that familiarity is going to be something that's going to be valued. Will that win the day? I don't know. They have hired outside before. They hired Marvin from outside. Yep. They hired Dave Shula from outside. That's not necessarily the be-all, end-all, but I do think it's extremely valued. And it should be, really, when you consider the unique situation that exists here.
Let's do this when we come back, and I think you're writing about this for this weekend, so I don't want to go too deep on it, but I think the conversation surrounding Marvin Lewis's legacy is a fascinating conversation. Can we do that when we continue?
Absolutely.
Paul Danner Jr. from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. We're at Belterra Park, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at 6:30 on News Radio 700 WLW. 6:37, News Radio 700 WLW. We're rolling. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park. Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yingling Lager. Respect. It's earned. Yingling providing the Plinko board tonight. They also sponsor the webcam. Paul, you didn't know it, but you were being eyed through that little webcam right there on my blog at 700WLW.com. By Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing, and Alamo Electronics. Electronics your way. Customize your home with Alamo Electronics. I listened to your podcast, you and Jim Osirski, the BBP, Best Bengals podcast.
The Bengals Beat
podcast. The Bengals Beat podcast.
It's the best one, too.
I know the initials, yes.
That's fair.
I'll take it. You can use that name, too. You touched on this, and I think you said you're writing for it this weekend, so I don't want you to scoop yourself and give out all your information. But the legacy of Marvin Lewis in 15 years, if you were asked to write it in a paragraph, that's a complicated assignment, isn't it?
It's a long paragraph.
Yes.
Yeah, it truly is complicated. I mean, that's the word that I keep using, and I have to make sure I'm not using it too much as I rewrite this story over and over again, because there's so much to it when you're really trying to evaluate. The bottom line is your lead sentence has to have 0-7 in it.
Yes.
You can't get to the period, no matter how much you want to talk about the good, you can't put the period in until you've mentioned 0-7. It's historic. It has literally never been done before. And outside of Jim Mora, never been close to being done before. I mean, Jim Mora was 0-6 in the postseason. That was the previous longest run of any coach as far as total number of games without a win in the playoffs. Outside of that, it's 3. And Marvin is now at 7. You can't talk about him without talking about that. And that's the unfortunate element about his entire tenure here, is that there is a lot of good. There's a lot of wins. There were a lot of playoff seasons, a lot of big moments, and some really, really good teams. And take to say all of that, when you sat there during Marvin's introductory press conference, all anybody wanted to talk about is, why did you even take this job? There is no shot anyone could ever win here. And the bar went from no one could ever win here to 5 straight playoff seasons is not good enough. That's Marvin's legacy, really. You know, when you talk about it, is the bar of expectation is so much higher. The relevancy is so much higher. The legitimacy is so much higher. But 0-7. So to me, that's a big part when you're trying to define it, is all of those things that are incredible and have changed the face of this franchise have happened, except taking the next step in the postseason, and for everyone involved.
Yeah.
So many
yeah.
coaches. That's it's the unfortunate element of the whole thing.
And the another aspect, and you mentioned this on the podcast with Jim, and it's the one that fans will roll their eyes at,
yeah.
yet the impact is real, and the ripple effect throughout the city and the area is the Marvin Lewis Foundation.
Yeah, I've been saying this a bunch, and I understand that people hear about charity and work in the community and I just want to win and I don't care if he's a good guy and all of that. But if you're really talking 15 years down the line, what the lasting legacy is, it's 84 scholarships given out, $1.9 million in scholarships, mostly to kids that would not have been able to do it otherwise.
Yes.
And there never really was a forward-facing, charitable community wing of the Bengals until Marvin Lewis got here. Now Mike Brown and the family, it's been fairly well documented that they donate, but they do it quietly.
Yep.
They do it on their own terms. They don't want publicity for it. But this franchise has often had a problem, and I think currently definitely does, connecting with the community,
yes.
especially the way the Reds are the opposite of that,
sure.
right down Marion Way. You're the exact opposite. So what Marvin Lewis's foundation has done, not only all the good that it's done, what I mentioned with all the scholarships, created a connection inside of the community and a true forward-facing, giving-back element to this franchise that has really changed the game for so many people. I mean, when you think about that, what those kids, all those kids end up becoming, maybe is Marvin Lewis's longest lasting legacy here. Once even beyond all the football.
Yeah. And you know this, you know, the players, he's had an influence on the others that have come here and their recognition of the importance of that. And I'm always blown away by the number of Bengal players who show up in support of events for other players who are involved. Michael Johnson, and they are out in the community. They build things. They award things. That's all part of an extension, I think, of Marvin saying it's something we do here.
It's important to
yes,
us. And
yes.
And a lot of places that stuff doesn't – it's stuff that happens and it's supposed to happen, but it's really – it's emphasized that it's important that you be – Jim wrote about Marvin before the 2016 season and being about something. And you need to be about something and don't be afraid to put that out there to help other people, because you can be a role model in positive community. That's important. Now, but again, you can't say that sentence without Owen said,
right.
Because at the end of the day, you were brought here to win and to win championships, and especially when you have 15 years to do so, that's the end. That's what I keep coming back to, is all of these things that we talk about that are game-changing for franchise, for city, for kids, for so much, it all comes. 0-7 is always the cloud that hangs
yeah.
over it, and it's, you know, unfortunate that one of the unfortunate aspect is the two best teams he had with an opportunity to buck 0-7. Those playoff games were played without their starting quarterback, and you know, you can sit there and second guess it all you want to, and maybe it would have ended like all the rest of them. But the bottom line is, Lance will never know.
We will read in much greater depth about this, what, Sunday in the Inquirer? Is it on Sunday?
Sunday,
Sunday.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be
You're going to have one giant long run-on sentence. That's
yeah.
what it's going to be.
I hope there's some I will put some periods
no
in
periods.
There, yes.
I don't want any period. I want people to just go put their own periods in.
Yeah.
Let them correct it themselves.
Absolutely.
When we come back, I want to actually get into some football stuff and the running game and the improvement of Layden, whether it's real, it's imagined, and what we take out of that. He's Paul Daner Jr. I'm Lance McAllister. Paul from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. Jim Osirski will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. We're at Belterra Park. It's the Roundtable Show, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show on News Radio 700 WLW. Heading down the stretch, the hours fly. And hour number one of two, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Paul Daner Jr., The Inquirer, Cincinnati.com, kind enough to hang out in our first hour. Jim Osirski in hour number two. What is to be made out of, what is to be drawn from the changes in the running game? Is it progress we're seeing in the running game? How much of that is tangible? How much do you say is concrete and can be carried forward?
It's definitely tangible. I mean, because although there's definitely nowhere to go but up from
That's
where
right.
they were the first 10 weeks, I mean, And inevitably, and that's when I wrote the walkthrough on Wednesday, it was, I can't start with this without saying a big reason the Bengals' season is a failure is because it took them too long to figure things out up front. Whether you're talking about it took them basically 7 weeks to figure out how to pass protect, it took them 10 weeks to figure out how they can run the ball.
Yep.
That killed their season, without doubt. But the last 5 weeks, you have seen a change in their general philosophy of how they run the ball. It's been more straightforward, less of the sideline-to-sideline stuff, and a little bit more straightforward attacking, and they've had success with it. They've gone from literally a historically bad pace, averaging 2.98 yards per carry the first 10 weeks, which would have been the worst in the league since 1996.
Ooh.
That pace to now, in the last 5 weeks, they have been a top 10 team. They've ranked eighth, averaging about 4.5. Mixon and Bernard combined, wow, averaging 4.7. So I think they have figured something out, no matter who's been in there, because there's been different pieces. You've had the Redmond-Westerman thing. You've had Andre Smith for a little bit of that. You've had a wave. They've had different pieces. But it's all seemed to have been much more effective. I think that is tangible. I think knowing how the guys that you do have, whoever is going to be back next year on that line, knowing how they can effectively block and how Mixon and Bernard, who definitely will be back next year, run with that, I think can carry over to next year a little bit as part of a learning experience. Of course, they could blow the line up and have all different guys, but I think there is a learning curve that we knew they were going to go through, right?
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it in the offseason when you can't take Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler out of this and put them with just a couple of guys who've never really done it before and think that it's going to be smooth. It took them too long, clearly. But the learning period that they went through, I think they ended up coming away figuring it out. Unfortunately, you know, like I said, it just took too long.
Paul has written all about that, Cincinnati.com and your Inquirer. Check that out. We'll take one final timeout, come back, close up the hour, and then hand things off to his partner, Jim Osirsky, who joins us at 7:05. It's the Roundtable Show to the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at 6:52 on News Radio 700 WLW. Head down the stretch, news in 3 minutes. 3 minutes, we're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Lance McAllister, special guest, Paul Daner Jr. from The Inquirer. This Saturday is the top secret gift giveaway on the gaming floor from noon to 6 p.m. Guests who earn 100 tier points on their My Choice card that day receive a mystery gift while supplies last. Let's take one final look at last week's Defensive Player of the Game, brought to you by RDI Corporation. Let RDI help you grow and protect your business. We'll take William Jackson III, because I'm a big fan of William Jackson III. Another pass breakup in the end zone. My prediction for 2018, William Jackson III will make the Pro Bowl in 2018. Mark that down, Paul Daner Jr. Talk about that on the BBP, all right?
I will.
All right. That's a perfect segue. I didn't even plan it that way. Give us a preview of things coming up and things that can be had right now through the various platforms that you and Jim Osirsky are involved in.
Jim just wrote a story about William Jackson III today.
Perfectly
so
timed.
Well done on that segue. You can read about him talking about you know, what playing time has meant for him this year, and I would agree. I would add all pro as a possibility for him next year as well.
Yes.
I think you know, we've got the game day section coming out, of course, on Sunday. The story on Marvin's legacy will be online tomorrow, so you can read it online or you can get it in the paper on Sunday. The season will end, but the BBP will continue. The podcast is all year round. We keep going every week, so we'll be back with that. There will be lots to talk about and react to and bring sound from whatever goes down early next week. So we will have BBP back up on Tuesday. Those are the big ones right now. And from that point forward, it's just pretty much going to be a lot of daily updating on the news as we get into the off season. It's going to be a busy one. No mock drafts yet.
Oh, come on!
I know. I definitely feel people's pain. I'd like to let's get through this coaching thing before we start.
And then it's on to the quarterback to draft.
Right, right. I mean, well, that's part of it, right? The new coach could come in and say, I'm looking for a quarterback, and suddenly we're changing the whole thing up. So
that would keep building that bridge I'm looking for, Paul. If he comes in and says that, just build that bridge a little bit deeper into Reds baseball. I'll take that.
That's all you need.
You are a good man. I always enjoy this. Listen, I always appreciate you carving out an hour. I know you're busy. You got a special night with your wife. Go enjoy that. And thank you, and you're welcome again. I hope we can do let's do another free agency offseason thing in studio with you guys.
I'm ready. Right? We're always ready to come up to the studio and hang out. We love it. We want the full 3 hours, though. When do we get the full, hours?
Don't push it. Just slow it down.
Jim wants three
just
hours.
Slow it down. Do we have enough coffee for 3 hours? That would be the question at the
station.
We will
have to bring our own coffee. We'll take a coffee break in the middle. Go
BYOC, bring your own coffee. That's fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Paul Daner Jr. from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. We're going to check on news. And Jim Osirsky will be next. It's the Roundtable Show, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW.
Hey, it's Lance McAllister. Thanks for podcasting my show. Make sure you check out my blog. It's sponsored by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call my guy Cliff. Got junk? Not after these guys are done. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Named best in the city for junk removal by Cincinnati Magazine. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's. The official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals, Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lykins Energy Solutions, powered by Lyke. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair, for style and flair, it's Furniture Fair.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
Rolling hour number two. We're at Belterra Park for the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. I'm Lance McAllister. Rocky is on assignment tonight. He's got a bowl game going on right now that has Virginia Tech and Oklahoma State involved. Oklahoma State leading 13-7 at halftime. Rock with, I think that's his second bowl game. He's got a third involving Notre Dame in this bowl season as well. So we wish him the best on this broadcast and his next. In his place, we've gone with the tag team from the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. Paul Daner Jr., Bengals beat writer, kind enough to hang out in hour number one, and Jim Osirsky in hour number two. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Are you going to be able to do this, at least for the time being, without coffee in your hand? Because you have an addiction to coffee.
I do. Yeah. There is not enough here.
I worry about you sometimes because there is an emotional attachment to
it.
Is there not?
It's my one mandate. It's in my rider to be here. But it is the holiday season, so yes. I didn't decide to walk off.
All right, good. That's good. We'll get you a coffee and get you set up in this hour as well. Very kind of you to join us in this hour. Let's set this up, and we'll get into Marvin in this hour and some other things, and Alex Redmond, and you wrote about Alex and a lot of stuff you have going on. But let me set it up from this standpoint. I've always said in baseball terms, a player has a slump in his performance, then becomes a trend, and then it becomes reality. And the reality of this team is this is back-to-back losing seasons. I mean, after five consecutive playoff appearances, which I know I continue to maintain people didn't nearly appreciate enough, they're now mired into consecutive losing seasons for the first time since, 07, 08?
Yeah.
And that's the reality of this situation right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And to me, you know, two, three losing years is a trend in this league because the league is designed, I mean, unless you're in Cleveland or Chicago, to win or get back to competitiveness within 2 years or so. You know, next year will be interesting, Lance, because I think a new head coach, and that seems like that will happen, is in position to go 10-6.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those sort of unexpected rebuilds. These last 2 years, this team, you know, this organization did not expect this at all. And while I'm, you know, fans who maybe say, well, they should have seen it coming, look at everyone who left.
Yeah.
That's not how they think. I mean, again, unless you're in Cleveland or Chicago where you plan for this. Their plan in Cincinnati was to continue to make the playoffs. So, that's the reality of it. I still think there's a bit of shell shock in that locker room amongst those who only knew the winning. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is not who we are. Obviously, the younger players don't. They're just trying to get their feet wet.
Sure.
So, it's one of those things, that, Lance, you're right. When is it a reality? I think, I hate to say this, if you were to change everything and then next year they go 5-11 or 6-10, then it's whoa.
Yeah.
I think there's reasons, at least this current current front office and a new coach will come in and say, well, these are the reasons why they've been a few games out of the playoffs the last 2 years. So it's not a trend. I don't know. You're right, though. I mean, I don't know if it's a reality yet.
Yeah.
But it's
definitely
trending that way.
Yeah, and if you brought up the great point about what has left here, and not just from a player standpoint, but I call it the brain drain of Zimmer and Jackson and Joseph and Gruden, and then you toss in Sanu and Jones and Whitworth and Zeitler, and that's a big pile of talent and brain power that was unplugged from this organization.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I know Hugh Jackson and Jay Gruden are sort of part of this conversation of guys who may be here next year if they're fired from their respective jobs. But that's not to be understated. I mean, if you're going to talk about Marvin Lewis finding these guys and having five head coaches, if you count Leslie Frazier at the beginning and Vance Joseph this past year, well, the other part of that is they're no longer here. And it's just like the players. Well, yeah, the Bengals wanted Cedric Obwehi to replace Andrew Whitworth. Well, they wanted, you know, Jim Haslett and Jacob Burney and all these guys to replace Ken Zampezi, to replace Hugh Jackson. And sometimes it's just they're not as good, or maybe the fit or the combination what they bring did not match the talent. Or maybe it's all together. So you're right. But to lose those coaches, to me, Lance, that's the underrated part of this search coming up, if there is one, as it looks like there will be, is who's on the staff.
Yes.
Because the head coach, everyone here wants the sexy head coach name, that whatever floats your boat in that regard, I get that, but it's who's the coordinators and who are the position coaches?
No question.
That's, to me, that's more important than who the head man is. To me, who the head man is who are you bringing with you? Like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. No one remembers Mike Tomlin as a defensive backs coach in Minnesota. What's his strength? His strength is finding those assistants and those coordinators to pull out what we've seen up there the last 10 years.
Is this, let's see, how do I want to ask this? Not in terms of ranking the opening in terms of what other jobs may be open. Let me just ask it this way. Is this a good job?
Yes.
Based on what they have roster-wise and everything that comes with it, is it a good job?
Yes. And I'll tell you, and I know there's going to be the anti-Andy Dalton crowd on this one, but part of it is because of the quarterback. Because, look, it's about winning, right? This is not the Cleveland situation of let's tear it down and be terrible. Whoever's here as head coach in 2018, the goal is to go back to the playoffs. So now we at Paul Dehner to ask you to mock draft Baker Mayfield at number 11. That's fine. But the next head coach is going to look at Andy Dalton and A.J. Green and Jason and a healthy John Ross and Geno and all the names we know and say, I can win 10 games next year with this group.
And William Jackson III, who's headed for a Pro Bowl.
Right. So I that's why it's attractive, because it's about winning. Look at, I mean, Hugh Jackson. He could be the coach right now. If he would have stayed and did the succession plan that he and Marvin talked about and Mike kind of agreed to, but he wanted to be a head coach so fast and just went for it. And why? Because he thought he could be the guy to do it up there. We're seeing how that's going. This is one of those rare jobs that are going to be available. I think Indianapolis falls in as too, with the healthy Andrew Luck, where you're like, wow, I can come in and immediately go to the playoffs and be better, and now you have a whole city.
Yeah.
And then, wow, look, The Bengals, two straight losing years. Now they're back.
Yeah, and you know this, the beauty of this league, and the NFL sent out the notes this week, and I still find it just staggering and fascinating that there are going to be eight teams make the playoffs this year that didn't make them last year, and every year since 1990, at least four new teams have made the playoffs. It's the fascinating way the league is set up. That cycle will get you in most cases, with the exception of the Bears and the Browns. You cycle in and eventually cycle out, but you're then right back in.
Right, and that goes back to your, at the start of the sentence, where you said the five straight playoff appearances. The further that gets in the rear view, you're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty special. That run just ended in Green Bay. Now, granted, theirs was 10 years, and you look at a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's Pittsburgh and New England. And Pittsburgh didn't even have that streak. I mean, there was a couple years there, 8-8, that didn't get in. So it's really hard to do because, again, it's set up for you to not do that. You know, be good for 2-3 years, and then you're bad and okay for 2-3 years, and then you're back up. So, I mean, it's built that way. So it makes you think, oh, yeah, 11-15 was good and maybe unfortunate with injuries and a fumble in 15. And now going into 18, it's not bad. This team isn't, you know, no head coach that comes in here, they're going to be excited to come to Cincinnati because, again, there's enough here, both in the 11 draft picks we just saw from this year, the 10 picks that are coming this next year. I mean, it's
sure,
you know, you got to find that right guy, and the coordinators, of course, they got to put it together, but I think it'll be appealing because of what you just said. Last place schedule, or second to last place schedule again next year.
Yeah. Much more to get to. Good stuff with Jim Oserski from The Enquirer. 8 o'clock tonight, the Mick Cronin Show right here on News Radio 700 WLW. The Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. And Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing. 717, it's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. 720 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park. This Sunday is the solid gold $35,000 hot seat on the gaming floor from noon to 6. Guests who are actively playing on their My Choice card at the time of the drawing are eligible to win. Every 15 minutes from noon to 5:45, five winners will receive $250 in bonus rewards with a final drawing at 6 p.m. where two selected entrants will receive $2,500 in bonus rewards. Lance McAllister, Jim Oserski from The Enquirer, Cincinnati.com, kind enough to join me in this hour. Rock on assignment tonight with a bowl game. You wrote a fantastic piece. I think it was last week you wrote it. I want to kind of backtrack to it just to have you kind of walk us through it. You wrote about Marvin bungling the message.
Right.
It's been clumsy. It's been, right. I don't get it. I'm of the mindset that everybody knows, so why deny? I thought it would have been easier just to just come out and move past it.
Right.
Take us through what he did, how he did it, why he did it, and what he did wrong, in your opinion.
Yeah, what the crux of that piece was, Lance, was, so real quick for everybody, the Adam Schefter on ESPN report that Marvin had made up his mind to move on in 18 broke as the team was on the bus to U.S. Bank Stadium to play the Vikings. Now, Marvin says he didn't see it, and I believe him. I mean, Marvin sits next to Mike. Marvin's not a guy who's on his phone like everybody else.
He's not tweeting.
But his players did, and his coaches did.
Ugh.
So now everybody else sees this. It is a topic of conversation because to everybody else, this is news, including ownership. And now it's circulating. It's now a thing as these guys are trying to win a game and prepare for a game. And in that moment, Marvin decided not addressing it pregame was the way to go. Now, I didn't pull all 53 players and 20 coaches, but enough of those guys felt it was such a big elephant in the room that he should have said something.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that would have been. I don't know if that would have worked. But what I do know is not saying anything and sort of a passing address in the post game that some guys didn't hear because they're getting untaped and undressed in the training room. Frankly, A.J. Green told me, he's like, some guys weren't even paying attention. because when you're losing like this, the post-game address is kind of whatever. So it just didn't work. And while he has been steadfast in saying that didn't come from me, and kind of lightly said it was inaccurate, I mean, he says he hasn't made these decisions yet, but the message it didn't resonate because it didn't happen in a way that at least the bulk of the locker room and some coaches would have wanted. Now, I don't know what would have been the right words, but he would have had time to figure it out because even though he didn't know and maybe he didn't, he definitely knew soon because reporters were walking up to him, ownership was walking up to him, you know. I mean, so he knew at some point, and you could tell that in Minnesota. You guys watched that game. I think Dave Lapham said, he's like, look at this team coming out of the tunnel right now.
Yeah.
And then we saw what happened on the field.
A big picture here, and I talked about it with Paul, and I think it's undervalued from the fan standpoint. What this situation does to a coaching staff, the coaches who in some cases have wives, have kids, they're in school, the contracts are all up. This is a very delicate, dicey, uncomfortable position to be in for the entire coaching staff this stage of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is unique, and I think just so people here know, I mean, there are no coaches under contract for 2018.
I mean, think about that.
You're right, which is different than the Bengals of past. I mean, a lot of people here, I'm sure, know when Marvin was hired, he had to keep some guys. When Dave Shula was, I mean, there have been assistants that have been sort of forced upon a head coach. That's not the case. So adding to that is you're right, Lance. I mean, they do have families. There are younger coaches on this staff that do have smaller children.
Yep.
Some who are older that moved here from whatever destination. I think what's more interesting is because they don't know Marvin's situation, they're in that space of, okay, where am I going to work? Who do I know? Who's a buddy of mine that might be up for a job there? Well, he might hire me for this. And those conversations happen. I mean, it's all, you know, because everyone's out for themselves. And look, there's going to be 9 open jobs. Some of those guys want some of these Bengals staffers, to be honest. Some of these guys have been blocked from other opportunities, which is interesting because clearly the organization likes them. But where do they fit with a new coach, if there is one? So you're right. It is an interesting time. And look, they're invested in the week of and game planning and coaching their guys. But look, you're not doing that 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I think that is part of it where you're looking around, okay, where can I go? What's best for me and our family, our situation?
What is the – and I asked – Paul, this in the first hour, around this team as much as you are in the locker room, what's the vibe you get this week? Is it more, let's just get this thing over with? Is it, let's go out on a high note? Are there guys, you know, warming up their cars with the bags packed, ready to go? What's the sense at this stage?
I think Giovanni Bernard said it best Sunday night when he was asked that very question. What do you guys doing here? I mean, you know, you're not going to make the playoffs. There's nothing to play for. And Gio he took offense to that. And he said, no, I'm playing for the front of this jersey and the back of it. You know, their name and the team. And Marvin isn't wrong when he says these guys are, you know, their resume is the week-to-week film. Look, if there's going to be a new head coach in 18, just because you have contracts and we know ownership, they're not just going to cut guys. But they don't have loyalty to this group, and I know it's been a criticism of Marvin and the staff, but why would a new head coach come in and say, you know, wide receiver X, you know, what did I see those last 3 weeks? Who are you? What kind of character is that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also there is the physical element of it where, frankly, you will get hurt if you're not invested in this thing. So I think that's what it is. We have a job to do. Let's do it. Beating the Ravens to keep them out of the playoffs, they don't care about that. You know, they want to win because that's, as we talked about at the start of this, a lot of these guys, this is unbelievable to them.
Yeah.
That this is 2 straight losing seasons. So they're kind of, they want to win the game, but also to, you know, show out for themselves in a way, which also helps the team construct.
Sure. This season, for every Kevin Huber punt down inside the 20-yard line, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. Kevin with four punts this past Sunday, one of those inside the 20-yard line. And we'll review last week's Performance Kings Honda Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face, every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll include Alex Redmond and Christian Westerman in that.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A group for nomination and recognition for the performance turned in the rotation at the guard position this past weekend. And when we come back, we'll I want to talk to you about the guy I think I may find the most fascinating player on this roster. And you wrote about him today, Cincinnati.com for the Inquirer. Alex Redmond, who is he's a character. We'll get into that with Jim Osarski from The Inquirer, Cincinnati.com, as we continue. Get a check on news. Don't forget, Mick Cronin Show coming up at 8 in the studio right here in the home of your best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW. 7:34 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Let's salute, we'll go with Randy Bullock, the Environmental Demolition Group Player of the Week. Environmental Demolition Group, your single source environmental and specialized demolition service company. Go to edgellc.biz. Randy with a nice game Sunday, including a 51-yarder. I believe he's made 9 consecutive field goals now. And a reminder, Market Buffet and Favorite Steak and Pasta will be open on New Year's Day. Check BelterraPark.com for hours. Rocky Boyman on assignment this week, so we get the bonus of having the tag team from the Inquirer all over all things Bengals at Cincinnati.com. Paul Daner Jr. in the first hour, Jim Osarski and his coffee in hour number two. You wrote about Alex Redmond, who we had a chance to sit with on Monday night at Bengals Line, and he was just a sheer delight to talk to. He is... In a word, he's a fascinating guy. There's a lot to like, and there's a lot to laugh at, and there's a lot to root for, and there's a whole lot in Alex Redmond, isn't there?
Yeah, it's that story this morning, an adjective used in that locker room is scary, because he is a very, very strong man, and that's not to be what we're talking about. Pro football players and linemen. So when those guys say he's scary strong, that's like, you know, you got to kind of take
that. A whole different
level. Right. Yes. Now, Gino, if Gino talked to anybody, I'm sure Gino would say he could bench more or whatever than Alex Redmond. But and the other part of that, too, is Alex last year as an undrafted free agent out of UCLA, he's 20 years old. He was the youngest player available.
That's amazing.
Yeah, at draft-eligible player. Very raw.
Yep.
And admittedly immature a year ago, and kind of retooled his body, his way of thinking, his study habits going into this year. And you saw it early where he jumped Christian Westerman in sort of the rotation. He was active early, played in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say scary is because I've had other linemen, defensive, offensive coach, say, like, people are afraid of him. He's not afraid to mix it up and be that kind of nasty guy on the field. Richie Incognito is actually one of his – he would prefer to model his game after. Now, Richie Richie kind of took it to some inappropriate levels in Miami, but Richie's a Pro Bowler, you know, and you got to kind of have that nastiness, if you will. And look, he's a guard, but, I mean, the issues on this team stretch way beyond an interior lineman. But it is, I think, at this time of year, Lance, when you're looking to see who can maybe compete for a starting job or compete for something in 18, Alex had fit that mold all year long, and then finally given a chance to play extended snaps.
Yeah.
You saw what that work has paid off for. Again, going 22 years old next year. William Jackson's 25. So, I mean,
wow,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, he's very young and a long way to go, but you have to be excited about that kind of raw ability and the fact he's kind of getting it and putting it together a little bit.
I love Monday night. He described himself as a giant gnat who will just keep bugging you and bugging you. And he said how fired up he gets on Wednesdays and a chance to hit. And everybody else is going, dude, what's going on? He says, this is, I got to have this. He said, this is my day on Wednesday each week.
Yeah.
And there's just such excitement in that when he said it. I love it. Do you think we'll see him in the same role Sunday in a rotation with Westerman at guard? Or
I think so. Well, part of it is, you know, I mean, if Cedric Obwehi was somehow healthy and could play, I think they would put him back at left tackle and do that because that's just what this staff does. That's not going to happen. So I do think you will see that and that sort of same game plan. I think it will be curious, though. Detroit is not the same as Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of this is Brandon Williams is 330 pounds in the middle and a nasty dude and C.J. Mosley and those guys. And
Terrell Suggs.
Terrell Suggs. And they are going to put them to work. Alex Redmond, Christian Westerman, to know their playbook, to know that communication with Clint Bowling, Russell Bodine. So we will see if that translates another week of practice, another week of film study, but also now those guys have their film. And look, they're trying to make the playoffs, and I think Baltimore playing for something. I'm doing air quotes.
Yes.
It means more than Detroit, frankly, because I mean Baltimore at home, Super Bowl winning quarterback and head coach, and Terrell Suggs, I think, is a different mentality than Detroit on the road, which I think, frankly, pretty soft and weak.
Yeah. The Alex Redmond piece is online now at Cincinnati.com, correct?
Cincinnati.com.
When we come back, I want to ask you, let's stay on the offensive line. Yeah. I thought you did just a wonderful piece that involved a lot of different elements, and I want to ask you about Clint and Kelly and Emma when we come back. Let's do that. Jim Osirsky from The Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. He's got his coffee. We're fired up. We're rolling through hour number two towards the Mick Cronin Show at 8 o'clock tonight. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:44 on News Radio 700 WLW. Let's check the early odds for this week's games presented by Rising Star Casino and Resort. Play, stay, and get away at Rising Star Casino and Resort in Rising Sun, Indiana. The Bengals now a 10-point. They'll make it 9.5. Checking Vegas at the moment. 9.5-point underdog in Baltimore this weekend. New England is a 15.5-point home favorite against the Jets and the Steelers. An 11-point favorite, although I don't know if that's changed in A11 to begin the week at home against the Browns, but Ben and Le'Veon will not play and Antonio will not play. I'm scanning to see if that line has wavered any. It is 10.5. It's down a half point, at least at this point. Roundtable show brought to you in part by Alamo Electronics. Electronics your way. Customize your home with Alamo Electronics and Mark Buffet, or the stadium will feature the football beer specials Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, and, of course, during all Bengals games, the final one Sunday, stadium raffling off everything from coolers to Bengals tickets to jerseys. Be here for Sunday and the season wrap-up. We are here with Jim Osirsky from The Inquirer and Cincinnati.com. You did a fantastic piece that took us places that fans don't get to go and things they don't, I think, often think about. And it was kind of life and times of an NFL player and a husband and a father and kind of set up and detail the access you got with Clint Bowling, his wife Kelly Bowling, and their two-month-old Emma, because I love stuff like this.
fortunately, Clint and Kelly welcomed Kareem Alexander, photojournalist at The Inquirer, myself, into their home, which, again, is they don't have to do, clearly. So thankfully they did that. And, the idea was, you know, especially this time of year and how you deal with that as people, because, you know, I think we do forget there are humans underneath the helmet and loved ones behind them. And Emma, she was born just before the first Steelers game. So that was one of those deals where, you know, they had to think, like A.J. Green a year ago, do I miss a game? And Marvin says, no one's missing a game for the birth of their kid. You know what I mean? And so there's that you have to deal with. And then these guys have, I mean, it's set sleep schedules and set eating schedules.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, a guy like Clint who is getting hit every play and, shoulder surgery a year ago, and this guy is bruised and iced all week long, and then he's got a pregnant wife at home. Right? How do you deal with that? How does she take care of you because that's what NFL wives, it's a position they're put in. I mean, their husbands come home and can't move or can't bend a finger or whatever. And then now you have a baby. Well, Clint needs to sleep, because if he doesn't sleep, chances are he may get hurt. And it's just one of those things, and they talked about all of that. And, like, obviously this profession affords them opportunities that most others don't get.
Sure.
They can travel. They have homes in their native Georgia and here, as well as a summer off. They understand that. And then, of course, they also very frank and open about traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
And long-term and the issues there. And she knows, hey, he's had two ankle surgeries. He had a knee surgery, a shoulder. His pinky's bent the other way. She's like, look, he could have knee replacement early. He might not be functional from a mental standpoint down the line. So they think and talk about these things, and you know, it was really interesting. Thankful to them for opening up and kind of sharing with everyone, as you said, what it's like to live that life.
Because
it goes beyond
the thing.
The
I really loved and appreciated, they were, as you said, there's something underneath the helmet.
Right.
There was the human side of him being a dad. You have video at Cincinnati.com of him playing with Emma on his lap, and it's just, wow, he's the guy who's going up against defensive linemen for, you know, 70 snaps a game, but here he is. He's making, like, goo-goo faces with Emma. It was just so human and real stuff.
Right, and there's a lot of new fathers on this Bengals team the last 2 years, a ton. And really for them, you know, it's just a shift in thought. Like, you know, my whole life was about me. And think about it, these guys, I mean, they're all the best they've ever were at their schools, colleges, whatever, and now it's not about them.
Yeah.
So there's a change. And he's like, look, you know, this year has not been great. He's like, but what is great is I come home and this two-month-old does not care that, you know, we lost the football game.
Yeah.
And he's like, that is helps things, which, you know, again, when you're not going to the playoffs. And he did say him and Kelly laughed. If they were going to play a playoff game or Super Bowl, he would not miss that game. He's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm. And Kelly said, well, maybe the second kid he can miss the game is the second one. So, you know, it's funny, but you're right, though. I mean, it does add that little bit of perspective, at least from our point of view, for them.
And story and video right now at Cincinnati.com.
Yeah.
All right, take another timeout, come back. We have more to work through. We got to hustle. Heading towards 8 o'clock in the Mick Cronin Show. Of course, news top of the hour. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park. Jim Osarski from the Enquirer hanging out with us on News Radio 700 WLW. Head down the stretch, 7:53 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Your news in 6 minutes, Mick Cronin Show at 8:05 tonight. Before I run out of time, I have a list of people we need to thank, and I wish Rock could have been here to wrap up the season. It has been another fantastic run here at Belterra Park and the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. This is our final episode of the season. Cannot thank everybody at Belterra Park enough, and the Stadium Club, and Blair Bendel, and Todd Cassini, and the entire staff. You have been first class. You have taken care of us. Our setup is perfect. It makes it very easy to do this show. Madison has taken care of us every week throughout the season. Yingling support. Tom Puma is not here tonight, but he's been the man. They put together the Plinko, Yingling Plinko board, and the uniforms. Furniture Fair has presented this, and everybody from Hawksworth to Hearing Solutions, Alamo Electronics. Chris Cordes, our on-site engineer, each and every week. Everybody who showed up to support the show this year. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but it has been a blast. I speak for Rocky when I say we love doing this show. We look forward to doing this show next year and beyond. It is a top-notch, well-oiled machine here at Belterra Park and the Stadium Club, and it's been an honor to do it here, and thank everybody involved for their input. Jim Osarski, let me do a couple of bullet point hits on players. I haven't jumped too far ahead into the offseason because I want you and Paul to come in studio to talk about this one night.
Right.
Let's go with an A.J. McCarron. There's certainly a storyline that has great intrigue and on the minds of a lot of fans. What do you make of this situation, as cloudy as it may be at this point, of A.J. McCarron going forward?
Yeah, it's up to an independent arbitrator at this point. He is currently considered a restricted free agent. He has filed a grievance. He believes he should be an unrestricted free agent, and this goes back to his rookie year where the Bengals put him on PUP. there's some mechanics there. Yep. He feels he should not have been. Obviously, he was, and it's kind of a he said on that. So really, that won't be decided until this offseason, February, March. He would like it to be before free agency, because if he's unrestricted, he would like some money and a job. But going forward, unrestricted-wise, look, the Bengals are going to put a tender on him, second or third round. That means a team will offer him a contract. The Bengals say, we don't want to match. We get your pick back. The key thing to know there, and we'll just use the Browns as an example, unlike Halloween, when they botched the trade, the second or third round pick were going to be one of their other ones, so kind of later in those rounds. If the Browns come and offer him a deal, they will be giving up the number 33 pick. A restricted free agency, you give up your own. So there's more value in that than maybe even those two other ones that they could have gotten.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's the thing to watch. The Bengals have to gauge the market properly. You know, is he a second or third rounder? It's one of those things that I think some fans were worried the Bengals won't get anything for him. That's not the case. Even if he were to leave unrestricted, I mean, they're going to get a comp pick, you know, in 2019 for the third round or so. One way or another, I think A.J. McCarron will be elsewhere in 18. The Bengals will get something for him. They could even trade him if he's offered a restricted deal. They could match it and then work out a deal and trade. The Patriots and Dolphins did that with Wes Welker, you know, half a dozen years ago.
In about a minute, maybe 45 seconds, will Tyler Eifert be here next season in your mind or elsewhere?
I don't think he'll be here. I think he'll be elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think the market will provide a little more money than most would expect. And at this point, he's been waiting to be a free agent. I just think he'll hit the market, and I think he'll find some more money elsewhere.
We hit on a couple of things that you've done this week, but kind of lay out big picture from the podcast on down, all the stuff they can find at Cincinnati.com right now related to the Bengals.
Yeah, real quick, early in the week, every Tuesday at Post, the Bengals Beat podcast, the BBP. Paul and I kind of break down the week that was, the week to be. This offseason, obviously, there will be other conversations about free agents, the new coach, all that stuff. So get your Bengals app on your phone, Cincinnati.com, Bengals app. Get that. Turn the alert on so Paul and I can end up in your pocket in a non-creepy fashion. But with all the news that you need, with the head coach, all that stuff, that's important. And, yeah, we'll just – obviously now as we go forward, it's the head – it's whatever happens with this, not just the head coach but the staff. Because free agent, the draft then is next. This team
mock drafts.
Yes. This team still does things in a methodical fashion, so they don't skip steps. So it'll be coaching first, draft next, free agency after that. But yeah, definitely Cincinnati.com, the app on the phone for sure. Download that; it's free, and you know, make sure to read us, check us out.
Excellent. This is always a blast. The time flies, and I look forward to having you guys in studio in the offseason and doing it again. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
Anytime.
Jim Ossarski, everybody, from Cincinnati.com. We got to get out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us this year. Have a happy and safe new year. And your news is next, followed by the Mick Cronin Show. It's been the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.